All right. Hello to all you wisdom-filled warriors and those listening to School of the Holy Spirit. Just wanted to take a moment and say thank you for your faithfulness in listening and reaching out. We continue to grow as an organization and developing, you know, wisdom-filled warriors, people who are ministering in the power of the Holy Spirit and growing in walking in the supernatural power of Christ. And so just wanted to go over a few logistics here with you before we start today. I'm going to be in North Bay, Ontario, Canada, on September 27th, 28th, and 29th. If you're looking, if you're in the area, you want to attend, more information on exact locations on the website. I'll be at Houston, Texas, October 3rd and 4th. That's going to be some really cool meetings, with some awesome people that are chasing after the Holy Spirit. Again, if you're looking for info, just, get on the website. And then, a big event for us is going to be, the Holy Spirit Boot Camp in Columbus, Ohio, on November 8th, 9th, and 10th. Again, if you are, seeking the Holy Spirit, if you're looking to be, equipped with the Holy Spirit to grow in all the gifts, and to move in the promised power over darkness and the assignment of Christ to raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out devils, and demonstrate the power of his presence. I encourage you to sign up. We still have slots available. Again, there's a lot of information on the website if you go to davidcuppett.com. And, you know, if you want to register, all the information you need is there. I thought it would be interesting to just talk in general about the cities that have been impacted by this ministry, Five Stones Ministries and the School of the Holy Spirit and the team that I take to places. We now have an audience in over 82 countries. And so just for reference, the top 10 countries, cities where, you know, we're being listened to outside of the United States, Singapore, number one, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, number two, then Johannesburg, South Africa, Hyderabad, India, Hamburg, Germany, Sydney, Australia, Brussels, Belgium, Calgary, Alberta, Canada, Auckland, New Zealand, and Cape Town, South Africa. And then the top cities in the U.S. where we have listeners. Tappahannock, Virginia. Not sure where that's at, but thank you. You're coming in at number one. We have Harrisonburg, Virginia, number two. Dallas, Texas, followed by Youngstown, Ohio. Grand Rapids, Michigan. Then Columbus, Ohio. Then Clarksburg, West Virginia, Chicago, Denver, Los Angeles, and Louisville. The reason I'm you know, giving that information to you is historically the way our ministry has grown is, you know, we started out with simply a podcast and recording, you know, some of the preaching and ministry in the places where I go, and then teaching and explaining the books, the Wisdom-Filled Warrior book and Transfigured, and you know, a lot of people reached out from that podcast, and our ministry has grown as a result of people saying, hey, I don't know how this is going to work, but I want you to come. And we've had city after city that has been impacted, people that didn't really know how they were going to do it, but they reached out, contacted me, and the next thing you know, they've got 50 to 100 people in a house or a hotel room, and, you know, seeing the outpouring of the Holy Spirit with the equipping and the demonstration of the power of the Spirit. And so I just wanted to encourage you, if you are thinking about, you know, wanting to start something, whether it's a living room ministry, whether you're looking at starting a church, whether you're looking at needing help in prophetically equipping your church with all the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit, reach out, because we are growing and we are looking to build God's kingdom. And yeah, we just have cool, amazing stories, people listening to the podcast, experiencing deliverance for the first time as they're going through the prayers and some of the things that I'm ministering in, as well as people suddenly getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost, and even seeing their first vision and dreaming dreams, hearing the voice of the Lord for the first time. So again, just we'd love to hear from you. And who knows where the Lord will do the next supernatural birthing. It might be your city. Amen. One other thing for you is we're going to start some Zoom call type of ministry where we have people that have reached out and they can't necessarily travel, but they want to consistently be developed in the prophetic, in learning about the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to be arranging some Zoom call type ministry. I'm going to have members from my team on the call. We're going to be walking through probably Wisdom Field Warriors starting in January, going chapter by chapter, and then allowing my team to minister to people on the call, getting people equipped in the Holy Spirit on the call, and seeing where the Lord takes us. So if you're interested in something like that, please email me and we'll get you arranged and grouped with some of the people that we're going to start working with in January. All right. And so what I wanted to talk about today is really, I wanted to talk to you about faith and walking with the Holy Spirit, because at the end of the day, there's a lot of people in the church who are trying to put on a face and trying to act like they have faith. But until God speaks to you and you know what your next step is, you know that he's challenging you to believe him in a scenario where there's really no reason to believe him, then, you know, you're kind of left to, you know, just trying to create strength on your own rather than receiving faith from the Holy Spirit. And at the end of the day, faith comes from hearing the voice. Okay. There's a lot of people, there's a lot of theology out there that says, oh yeah, you just have to read the Bible and believe it. And the point of the Bible is a love letter, right? You were never meant to worship a Bible. In fact, it's not Father, Son, and Holy Bible. It's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are meant to walk with the voice, the presence of the Lord. And the whole purpose of Christ coming was to equip his church in the power of the Holy Spirit, to hear him, to expect in him, to walk with him, to believe in him. Okay. And so before I jump into some of the teaching, I'll tell you a quick story. So when the Lord took me into my first wilderness, between 2012 and 2014, as he was preparing me for ministry, he actually didn't send me to ministry school. He didn't send me to seminary. He didn't send me to be blessed by a man. He actually took me out into a wilderness, led me by his voice into a place I didn't want to go. Certainly my family didn't want to go. And it challenged me in ways and built me in ways that I could never build myself. Okay. And so just a little bit of background, the Lord led me out of the church where I was serving as a prophetic leader and a pastor of various groups in the church. And the Lord, he came to me and he said, I'm going to blind you for a season, but when you return, you will shine with a light that is glorious. And at first it shocked me. I didn't understand how the Lord builds people and bursts supernatural things out of people. What do you mean you're going to blind me? Why would you blind me, Lord? Because at the end of the day, guys, the scripture actually says that you walk by faith, not by sight, right? So learning to walk in faith is learning to embrace the way the Lord releases power into your life. And so the Lord actually sent me to a city, to a place that I actually didn't want to go. And it profoundly impacted my family to the degree that all three of my children, did not want to go, to the city where he sent me. And, you know, kids, you know, mad as a hornet, you know, a wife not happy with, did you really hear God challenging me in ways that were like, oh my gosh, I could lose my family. And people say, well, heck, the Lord would never do that to a family. Oh, really? Read the Bible. Read the Old Testament. You know, Abraham, get up and leave, right? I mean, Sarah had a choice to follow Abraham. The Lord actually didn't talk to Sarah. He talked to Abraham. So Sarah, as a helper, had to make a decision. Is this my husband, number one? And number two, did he hear God? And so my wife and I can tell you stories till the cows come home in terms of how the Lord has led us. But my children were, you know, teenagers when this happened. And you can imagine when you uproot teenagers from one city and you take them to another city, how that would be received and impact their lives. And it was not a good time. And I'm telling you that as a backdrop because I had to believe God in ways that the church never prepared me to believe God. Okay. I didn't have people around me to support me. The Lord actually ripped me out of my support group, right? He ripped me out of my support organization and places where I got my identity, and he had me follow him. And in the midst of my children, all three of my children being mad as heck with me, he promised me something. He showed me some things. I had some spiritual encounters, and he basically said, I have a plan for all three of your children. And so fast forward 10 years later, I can tell you stories, all three children, the Lord gave me vision and revealed to me both of my daughter's husbands and my son's wife, and blessed my children in ways where my kids are all connected in some fashion in ministry, in some form of ministry school, and knowing the voice of God, following the Holy Spirit. And so just as an example, I'll share with you my son. So in the fall of 2021, actually December of 2021, my son started ministry school in California. And in December of 2021, the Lord woke me up one morning and he says, I want you to pray for Slovakia. And I paused because, you know, I grew up in the 80s, man, when before the Iron Curtain was, you know, broken up and all that stuff. And I knew Slovakia as Czechoslovakia. And I had to look at a map and I realized that the Czech Republic and Slovakia were separated into two different countries. And so I literally was like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know that this was a country. And, you know, I'm in this discussion with the Lord. And so I start praying for Slovakia. Okay. And so a few months later, my son, well, let me back up. So in the midst of that discussion with the Lord, as I start praying for Slovakia, in January of 2022, less than a month later, I start getting these emails from these young men in Slovakia, one after the next. And the next thing you know, they're asking me, and the theme is this: hey, I'm listening to your podcast. And there's no Holy Spirit over here in Slovakia. We are of theologies and denominations, mostly Catholic, where there is zero Holy Spirit embraced. And so what do you mean get baptized in the Holy Spirit? And they're asking me questions. And so we start doing these Zoom calls. And so I end up with all these young men on Zoom calls, leading them to the Holy Spirit, leading them to not only to receive Christ, but to truly be baptized in the Holy Spirit. They start praying in tongues. They start calling me with, hey, I had this dream. I had this vision. What's it mean? The Lord, what do I do? And so I'm interacting with all of these young men in Slovakia, the very place that the Lord had me start praying for, before I knew anybody in Slovakia, right? So the next thing you know, these young men are like, where should we go? What should we do? We need to find a church. We need to find a support group. And so I said, all right, let's start praying. And all of them end up in the capital city of Bratislava, Slovakia. And they end up in a particular church. And the pastor of this church ends up reaching out to me. He messages me because some of the young men shared my contact information. We end up having a call, and the pastor says to me, "How in the world are all these guys winding up at my church? They're all saying your name, and they all are saying they just got baptized in the Holy Spirit. They pray in tongues, and they need a church that believes in the Holy Spirit." And the pastor starts to explain to me that he went to ministry school in California. And in ministry school, the Lord actually said he was sending him back to Slovakia to start a church. Okay. And so he knows about the United States. He knows the culture, the spiritual culture, and all of that kind of stuff. And he says, I think you need to come over here to Slovakia and lead a revival for us. Okay. And I'm like, just hold on. Let's keep praying. Right. There's more stuff that the Lord, is going to reveal. And so fast forward to March of, 2022, just a few months after that, my son, Cole, he's at the time, he's 19 years old. He's on a mission trip in Alaska, and he gets on a video call with me and my wife, and he starts giggling. And suddenly he says he wants to introduce us to his new girlfriend. And into the picture comes this girl that Cole introduced as Natasha. He says, "This is Natasha, and she is from Slovakia." Okay. And so that's, you can imagine my shock that the Lord wakes me up in a, you know, commands me to pray for a nation I didn't even know of. I end up ministering to all these young men. And now my son introduces us to his new girlfriend from Slovakia. And so this conversation gets really wild. And so the next thing you know, I'm telling them the story of the Lord asking me to pray for Slovakia. And we go back and forth. I talk about the pastor, and she says, Natasha says, "You're not going to believe this, but the pastor is my dad's best friend." So if the hair's not standing up in your arms yet, it should be. Like, the reality of what are the odds? How does that work? How does the Lord orchestrate this? Okay. And so, long story short, my son ends up marrying Natasha, last year. They're young, they're following the Holy Spirit together. And as parents, both her parents and my wife and I, our decision to support them really came down to the Lord waking me up, and the fruit that ultimately resulted not only in my son and Natasha meeting, but the fruit that came out of, you know, my wife and I went over there for several weeks last summer. We did, a series of revival meetings and saw, you know, a boatload of people baptized in the Holy Spirit and just some wild supernatural things happen. Okay. And so I'm telling you that really, about, because I want to emphasize that the point of being a Christian is not knowing simply what the Bible says. The point of being a Christian is walking with the supernatural one. Right? Walking with Jesus Christ, walking with the one who knows all things, and the one who knows the end from the beginning, who will orchestrate your life if you let him, right? And so I want to emphasize and talk about some scripture today that reveals the fact that Jesus Christ demonstrated walking in the Spirit. He demonstrated a covenant relationship. And oftentimes Christians lose focus, and they're trying to focus on a Bible as their means of their measuring point and trying to achieve what Scripture says. And the Lord does not, the key measuring point is not how much Scripture you know, it's who you know. Do you know the God of the New Covenant? Because the reality is this: in the Old Covenant, you know, they couldn't hear the Lord, right? Except for a few chosen ones, where you know, the Father put the power of the Holy Spirit on men like David and Moses and Joshua and some of the prophets. But the bulk of the people could not hear the voice of the Lord. And so the reason why they call this the better covenant through Christ is that all have the ability to hear. All are granted the ability to hear and walk in the power of his covenant. Okay. And so Galatians 5:6 says this: For in Christ, Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. So what does that mean? He's actually talking about the physical, right? In the old covenant, the sign of covenant was the man circumcised. And the Lord is saying that circumcision is not of the flesh, it's actually of the heart. Is your heart circumcised? So what is the circumciser in the new covenant, right? What is the knife? The knife that circumcises is the word, okay? And the word is a person. The word is not scripture. The word is a person, okay? Christ reveals himself in the book of Revelation. It says that in Revelation 19, it says he has his name on his thigh, the word, right? The one who speaks, meaning the one who is present now speaking, okay? And so the one who speaks desires to speak to you. He desires to speak to us and relate to us, and us to relate to him through covenant, right? So it says in Galatians 5:6 that circumcision or uncircumcision doesn't avail anything, but faith working through love. So why does faith have to work through love? What is love? Love is actually, if you study out the root word agape, it actually circles back to the same root word of faith, which is pistis. Okay. So the root word of love, they both connect through covenant, to a concept known as commitment. Okay. And so whenever you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, faith is supposed to work through commitment. Right. And so I told you the story, the supernatural story of how the Lord has a plan for my son. And the whole deal with Slovakia and the plan for my son's wife going back 10 years earlier, when I was in the midst of a desolate time and the Lord gave me a promise, I have a plan for your sons and your daughters, right? So don't look to the natural on how chaotic it looks, and even me taking you to a place that you don't want to go to, but I have a plan for you and your family, okay? So faith works through commitment. So the word love here, agape, he's actually revealing that faith works through covenant commitment. I know my God is committed to me just like I'm committed to my God, and that my God says he'll never leave me or forsake me, and I will never leave or forsake my God. Okay. So there's a relational dynamic of faith working through the commitment, right? So faith works through your dependence on the one who is present. And a lot of times people will fall back into trying to find a scripture that applies to their situation rather than going into prayer and letting the Lord who speaks begin to write on your heart. Because when the Lord who speaks writes on your heart, he is manifesting himself present in the moment, in the time and in the place, the avenue and the path that he is leading you down, right? Okay. So faith is an act that manifests through the vow of commitment. You have to know with all of your heart that the Lord is with you and he has a plan. He will not go without speaking to you. Okay. And so this might be a hard concept for you to wrap your mind around if you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit, because the baptism of the Holy Spirit is actually the transformation of a heart that is expecting natural things rather than the supernatural. And what I mean by that is when a person is baptized in the Holy Spirit, your spirit man becomes alive and you are now sensitive to what the Spirit is saying rather than trying to adhere to a book. Okay. The Lord never called you to adhere to a book. He called you to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, right? Luke 24:49, wait in this city till I send the power of the Holy Spirit upon you. And you, those who listen to my stuff, you know that in Acts chapter 2, the wind of God comes and all 120 in the upper room were baptized in the Holy Spirit, right? And they all started to pray in tongues. They started to prophesy, meaning that the activation of the power of the Spirit praying through man will reveal the voice of God, which comes in dreams and visions, and power will be given to the common man. Okay. All 120 were endued with the power of the Holy Spirit. And so this spiritual principle is reiterated in Romans 10:17, which says that faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the word there's the word rhema, meaning the vision and the dream of God, right? So where does faith come from? You can't open a book and try to generate faith. It's not possible. Man, that's called religion, okay? Religion is a dangerous thing because it ends up being something that men try to fake and adhere to rather than a relational reliance on the one who speaks. Okay. So when this scripture says faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word, the rhema, it's actually the place of impartation. Every day is your ability revealed to discern and to make right decisions. Okay. And so as an example of this, let's look at Matthew chapter 4 with Jesus in the desert, okay? And I want to talk about this big picture before we get into the scripture, okay? So big picture, the scripture actually says that the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the desert, right? If you read the beginning of, you know, the version in Luke as well as the version in Matthew, it says the Spirit of God led Jesus to the desert. Why did the Holy Ghost lead Jesus to the desert to be tested? Why? Because Jesus had to learn that he would walk out of the desert only by the power of the Spirit. Okay? If you read through Jesus coming out of the desert, being victorious, it says that Jesus came out in the power of the Spirit. Why does it say that? Because Jesus defeated Satan by the power of the Spirit and nothing else. Okay? So, Let's walk through this. Okay. So Jesus is in the desert. He fights not a natural battle. He fought a spiritual battle. Okay. He's hearing a voice of evil, Satan's voice, but he's got to discern that he's not subject to Satan's voice. He's subject to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Okay. So this is actually a picture of covenant presence. Jesus is demonstrating he relied on the covenant promise that the Holy Spirit would never leave him, but he would walk in the power of the Spirit, okay? That the I am is with Christ, right? Because Jesus ultimately knew the power of the Spirit, he was able to stand in front of the Pharisees and the Romans and say, I am. Why was he so boldly as a son able to say, I am? Because he profoundly was revealed to be in covenant with the Father as one. Whatever the Father and the Holy Spirit revealed and established, Christ did in the natural on earth. Okay? And so this is really a cool picture if you can wrap your mind around it. Okay? Because here's the deal. How did Satan fight Jesus in the desert? He quoted scriptures. Okay? Think about this. How did Satan fight Jesus in the desert? He quoted scriptures. So if Jesus knows scripture and Satan knows scripture, which if you read the book of James, James 2, it says that Satan knows scripture. He knows the scripture. So he twists scripture to tempt Jesus, right? How did Jesus rely on the Holy Spirit in response? I'm going to tell you the answer up front so that we can debate this, or we can actually get deep into your understanding so that it ends up not being a debate for you, that you realize that it's the Holy Spirit's power that Christ used to win the battle in the desert, okay? So after all three temptations, how does Jesus respond? He says, it is written, okay? It is written. A lot of people who are not spiritually awakened will simply say Jesus won with the Bible. And that's not true. Satan knew the Bible. He knew the Old Testament scriptures, and so did Jesus. But Jesus says it's written. It's written. What is that? What is Jesus actually saying? I believe Jesus is actually saying that it's actually the Spirit of God is writing it on my heart, which is a symbol of discernment, right? Discernment is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And so the only way Jesus was able to win with Satan twisting scripture and trying to get him to move according to the way Satan wanted him to move was through the twisting of scripture and getting Jesus to prove himself. Okay, Jesus knew he didn't have to prove himself. He already was deemed the Son of God by the voice of the Father when he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus was already in covenant. Jesus did not need to prove anything, right? And so Jesus actually quoted scripture to counter Satan's deception. But the difference was that the Spirit of God revealed to Jesus to discern the deceptive nature of how Satan was using scripture. Okay. So why is this important? Because in the new covenant, the Father says that he will write on the hearts of men. Okay. He writes with his finger. What is the finger? The finger of God, as referenced in the book of Exodus, and Jesus references the finger of God in Luke 11 when he's talking about the power to cast out demons. He says, I cast out demons by the finger of God, right? What is the finger? The finger is the reach. It is the arm, the hand of God the Father, which is the Holy Spirit. And so the reach into earth is through the Holy Spirit, okay? When you grasp that picture, you will put value on why Jesus told the disciples when he ascended into heaven, he says, you wait here, I need to send you the Holy Spirit. What he was saying is, I'm going to send to you the finger of God. The reach of my Father will now be upon your life, and you will be able to discern the way I discern. Okay? And so Jesus is in this battle representing this new covenant way of being led by the Holy Spirit, right? And Jesus did not have what Satan did not have. What did Satan have? Satan had the words written on stone, right? Representing the Ten Commandments. So Satan knew the Ten Commandments. He actually knew all the scriptures. But what does the Father say that he will do in the new covenant? Ezekiel 36:27 says, I will give you a new heart that allows you to come close to me, right? He's actually saying, I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Why is that symbolism important? Why is it a prophetic picture of a transition? Here's why, okay? Because whenever the nation of Israel was in the valley below and Moses was called up the mountain, okay? In Exodus chapter 20, the Father's intent was not just to speak to Moses. The Father's intent was to speak to the nation. And the nation said, no, we will not ascend. So Moses became a voice piece for the body. Why did the Lord take stones and with his finger write on stones? You know why? Because it was to reflect the heart of man, that man's heart was hard. Man's heart didn't need God. And the Lord was symbolizing that because you choose not to come to me, because you choose not to come and hear my voice, I will write on stone. And if you read the scripture, Paul says that the old covenant could never save a man, right? The whole point of the old covenant was that there was coming a savior who could save you, because the old covenant couldn't save you. And so the point of the scripture is that, oh my gosh, I desire to know the one who speaks, right? And so when you get the revelation that the point of the old covenant was to reveal the one who speaks, and the one day when the Holy Ghost would be given to all people through Christ, then everything changes, right? Because the Lord's desire is not to write on stone, symbolizing that a man has to come back and be condemned, right? Because the scripture says that the old covenant couldn't save you. It could only condemn you, meaning that you had to realize you needed to repent. Okay? Repentance is the beginning of having the potential of new life. Okay? So when a man repents, the act of repenting is not the end. Okay? The act of baptism, when you're water baptized, it's a symbol of outward commitment. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a whole different thing. It's actually the resurrection of Christ. It is the power to actually hear the voice, that you are no longer bound to the words written on stone, symbolizing the old covenant, but you are now subject to the voice, and you should put your heart on the voice of God, who will lead you into all truth, right? That's why if you read John 14, 15, and 16, Jesus throughout those three chapters is saying, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send you the Spirit of truth. I'm going to send you the Helper, the Advocate. He will lead you into all truth, right? Why does Jesus call the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth? Because truth can only be revealed by the Spirit, okay? And it's symbolized, okay, listen to me. It's symbolized in this battle between Satan and Jesus in the desert. Satan knows the scriptures, and he quotes scripture on three different occasions, and we're going to walk through that here in a minute. But Satan knows the scripture just like Jesus knows the scripture. Satan uses the scripture to try to tempt and put Jesus in a prison. Jesus uses the Holy Spirit to recognize Satan as a liar, even though he's using scripture. And the reality is this: most people going to church aren't unable to discern whether a guy is up there just babbling a bunch of scripture or if he's speaking by the Holy Spirit. And now we'll say that's a whole different topic. But the point of you being spiritually awakened is to learn to wait on the Holy Spirit and to discern, even though a person might be quoting a scripture, is that really the Holy Spirit or is that the enemy? So let's walk through this. So Matthew chapter 4, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones become bread. Okay? Jesus answered, says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Okay, what's Jesus doing here? He's actually, by the Spirit, recognizing that Satan is using a scripture. Okay, Satan is using the John 6 scripture, Jesus is the bread of life, right? He has all ability, and he's saying, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus is saying, I don't live by temptation of having to prove myself. He says, I'm living by the voice, by the word that proceeds from the mouth of God, the Father, okay? The word there is the word, it's the rhema, meaning the vision and the dream of God. It's the vision of the Holy Spirit, okay? So Jesus is saying, I don't have to prove myself to you. In fact, I know that you're a liar, Satan. I know you're coming to tempt me using scripture, but I don't live by bread alone. I live by the rhema words, the visions of my God, the discernment of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is saying, I know the Holy Spirit, and he's not telling me to do anything in this moment, right? So Jesus in this scripture is demonstrating that he doesn't have a heart of stone. He has a heart that is sensitive to the voice of the Spirit. Okay, the second temptation. Then the devil took him up on the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over you. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." What's going on here? Satan is quoting Psalm 91, right? That's straight out of Psalm 91. Okay? Jesus says, it is written again, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God." Okay? So, Jesus is quoting a reference in the Bible. But it's through the power of the Spirit that Jesus realizes he doesn't have to prove himself. His identity is not in proving himself and earning Satan's acknowledgement of who he is. He's already been acknowledged as the Son of God by the Father, okay? So the Spirit of God is leading Christ on how to respond, right? Again, Jesus doesn't have a heart of stone. He has a heart that is sensitive, a heart of flesh, a new heart, okay? And then the third temptation. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said, and he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Okay, so again, Jesus does not have to prove himself. His heart is made sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So in all three of these temptations, where is Jesus getting his strength? Can you picture? I mean, this didn't exist, right? Jesus didn't carry a Bible. They didn't have Bibles to carry. Jesus wasn't sitting there going, you know, rummaging through the scriptures. The only thing Jesus had was the Holy Spirit. So you can imagine, as you're sitting in your bedroom and you're hearing these voices, right? It's the same analogy. You're hearing these lying voices saying you're afraid, saying you can't overcome, saying you're always going to be addicted, saying you're always going to be a drug addict, saying you're always going to be worthless. All these lies are coming from a deceptive voice that twists things, right? But the Holy Spirit, if you learn how to grab hold of the Holy Spirit and draw on the Holy Spirit, if he did it for Christ, he'll do it for you. Okay, it's the point of being baptized in the power of the Spirit. But we as believers need to learn to walk in the Spirit, meaning that we wait on what the Spirit of God is saying, and we can turn and call the lie a lie. Okay? And so the point of this is, when you're empowered by the Holy Ghost, covenant is a central theme, okay? Covenant is the avenue. It is your love for God. Do you really love the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Because out of your love comes forth your covenant commitment that you won't take a step forward or backward until you hear God. And when you hear God, you will believe what the Spirit of God is saying and not the lie of the enemy. Okay? And here's the other thing. You never want to let the voice of the enemy unanswered. You always want to speak what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, because it is evidence that the Lord is writing on your heart. No longer are you subject to trying to rummage through a book and trying to find the right scripture. When you have the power of the Spirit who is speaking life to you. Amen. And so the essence of what we're talking about here, guys, is that the Spirit of God is the source of life. Okay? The covenant relational dynamic is that you learn to set your mind on what the Spirit of God is saying. In Romans chapter 7, you know, Paul was explaining the back and forth mind game between sin, the voice of sin, the voice of evil, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Paul says in chapter 7, he says, "Why do I do the things that I know not to do? Why do I think these things? Why do I have this fight around me?" Okay? The reality is this: the fight never goes away. You actually have to learn how to fight. Okay? Let me say that again. The fight actually never goes away. The fight actually gets bigger, okay? The bigger the assignment in your life, the bigger the challenge of the evil one who will come to steal your identity to keep you from what the Lord has for you, okay? So the reality is you don't just win one fight and the devil goes away. You have to learn how to fight every day to discern and rely on the voice of the Spirit to overcome the enemy. And if you read the end of Romans chapter 7, Paul says that with my mind, I will serve the oracle of God. Okay, what does that mean? The word oracle there is actually the prophetic voice. It's the same as the rhema, the dream and the vision, what the Holy Spirit is saying. Okay, so even though you may be in a situation of being tempted, of being pulled back into an old lifestyle, a drug addiction, a problem with your sexual life or whatever it is, the reality is that with your mind, you learn to discern the voice of God, okay? Amen? And so the power of the Holy Ghost, guys, is a covenant dynamic. It is something that is a profound gift that is given to the body of Christ. And at the end of the day, if you're in a theological background where you're taught that maybe the gifts of the Holy Spirit don't work for today, that doesn't exist anymore. The gifts of the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, that doesn't exist. That's not needed. And all you need to do is know the Bible. That is the biggest lie there is, guys. If you don't have the Holy Spirit and Satan knows the Bible, okay, how are you ever going to overcome? How are you ever going to make the right decisions? What city are you going to next? What job are you going to take next? What thing are you going to overcome next without the Spirit? The answer to that is absolutely nothing. That's Old Testament life at best if you're calling yourself a Christian, okay? A real believer is in the new covenant. It's called a greater covenant for a reason, because it's greater. It is the only covenant that has life in it. The old covenant couldn't save you. You can know all the scriptures in the world, but if you don't know the Holy Spirit and walk according to the Spirit of God, you don't know anything, okay? You're guessing. And I would venture to say that more times than not, Satan is using a scripture to twist you, to get you arrogant and prideful, to make you think you're great because you know a scripture, when the reality is Christ functioned in a humble life, okay? Christ went into prayer. If you read the four Gospels, Jesus went and did a supernatural thing, and then it says he went into prayer. And he comes out of prayer and he says, okay, boys, we're going to the woman at the well. He does a supernatural thing. He goes back into prayer, okay? And this pattern of going back into prayer is the point of gaining spiritual strength. It is the point of realizing that you don't make a next move. You don't even have a response until you hear the Spirit of God, who writes on your heart and strengthens you with your next action, your next statement, your next, even your next fight to win is strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so I would just encourage you guys, Paul, there's a reason why Paul in the book of Ephesians, he says in Ephesians 1:17, he says, I pray that you would be granted the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the intimate knowing of Christ. Okay. He's actually talking about revelation, right? The point of the Spirit of God is to reveal to you the intent of the Spirit. Right. And then the intent of the Spirit is for you and not against you. So your full reliance should be on the Holy Spirit. Okay. And when your full reliance is on the Holy Spirit, that's when the Lord can use you to walk into the darkest places on earth to do supernatural things, because you're doing what the Spirit is leading you to do. And you're not guessing, trying to look like you're righteous and you're a great Christian or you're a good believer. Okay. People ask me all the time, how did I train my kids? How did you do this? I used to actually take my son to different churches, and I would sit there and I would ask him this question. I would let the preacher preach for about 10 or 15 minutes. And then I would ask my son, I said, is the Holy Spirit here? What's this guy talking from? Is he talking from revelation? Or is he trying to look good? Is he trying to look righteous in front of his congregation? Is he trying to, beat the congregation? Is he trying to get money from them? Is he trying to convict them? Is he, what's he doing? What's the intent of this guy? And we would go, some churches, my son would say, yep, the Holy Spirit's here. And I say, yeah, this guy had a vision and he's speaking what the Lord is telling him to speak. And then we'd go to another church and we'd sit there and I'd say, what's going on? And he'd say, this guy's just repeating a bunch of scripture, Dad. And the reality is, yep, you're right, son. There were many churches where we got up in the middle of service and I said, let's go get some breakfast. Let's go get something to eat because this is a bunch of, this is not worthy of our time, okay? And you may say, well, that's arrogant. No, that's teaching and discipling the young to discern the power of the Holy Spirit. Because here's the deal, guys. If you're not walking by the Spirit, you're wasting your time. If you do not know the Holy Spirit, you have not met, you have not entered in to the new covenant power of life, okay? Jesus said these words in John 6:63. He said, the words I speak to you are spirit and they are life, okay? A person can read a Bible and not get life. I know a lot of them. You know a lot of them. You know a lot of people around you that read Bibles and have no life. They're actually mad, evil, angry people, okay? You know why? Because in theological places that don't teach the power of the Holy Spirit and the importance of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, people are left to try to figure out Christianity just by going to an altar call and thinking they said Jesus when actually all they did was repent. They recognized they need a Savior, okay? That's the whole point of two baptisms, right? John the Baptist said there is one mightier than he who would baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire in Matthew chapter 3, right? And so repentance can lead you to a recognition of a need of a Savior, but repentance is not the end. There's no life without resurrection. And the only thing that can resurrect you is the Holy Spirit, okay? When Jesus went to the cross, he gave up the Holy Spirit and he died, right? He gives up his life. And he goes into hell, okay? He goes into death, okay? What resurrected Christ? Did Christ resurrect himself or was it the Holy Spirit? Scripture said that the Spirit of God raised Christ. Okay, so if the Spirit of God raised Christ, do you not think that you need the Holy Spirit? That you can raise yourself because you claim Jesus? Claiming Jesus is somewhat frivolous. It's actually, there's a grace to repent, but only the Holy Spirit can resurrect a man. And it's only in surrender, only when a heart says, oh my gosh, I can't make my own decisions in life. I actually need a Savior to heal me, to deliver me, to equip me, to empower me. Only then does life come to a person because they learn to no longer walk on their own power. They walk according to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so I hope you're blessed today, guys. I hope the spirit of revelation is coming upon every one of you. I pray, Lord, for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to come upon every person hearing right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that as people are recognizing that maybe they still are functioning with a heart of stone and being tricked by the enemy, being easily deceived because they've not surrendered fully to the power of life, the power of resurrection called the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that there would be a grace come upon every person right now, Lord, and that the baptism of the Holy Spirit would come upon them. Lord, that people right now would begin praying in the Holy Ghost, that people would start dreaming your dreams and seeing your visions, and they would be able to answer the liar, that they would be able to discern, just like Christ discerned in the desert, hey, just because you're using scripture against me doesn't mean you're right. And that people would learn to wait on the Holy Spirit and know that it's the Holy Spirit that writes on the heart. Amen. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would begin writing on every person's heart, every listener, Lord. Let the Holy Spirit write on their heart in Jesus' name. All right, guys, it's been great talking to you today. Hope to see you at some of these events, and please reach out. We're going to start these video training calls at the beginning of the year in 2025. We're starting to get our schedule together for 2025. So if you're interested in an event in your city or your church, reach out and we'll start working. Amen. All right. Bless you and have a great day. Amen.